the Beat Red podcast, a podcast where we talk about everything embarrassing. We tell our stories. We tell your stories. Sometimes you tell your stories. We want to keep you telling them. And we are here to laugh. We are here to cry, but in a good way. We are here to shock and hold on to our boots. We want to add some levity to your day because it's the holidays, y'all, and we are in it to laugh right now. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie. Let's stir Beat Red. Yeah, we need some laughter more than ever.
We do. I mean, I didn't think that, you know, like the holidays are like rough sometimes. Like it's just some pressure going on around.
It's a pressure cooker. Life. It's a lot of stress. Yeah. It's a lot of added stress, internalized stress. All of it.
I find myself, anything that's funny, I laugh so loud and so hard at these days. I really appreciate it. So that's what we're here for, girl.
That's good. How was your week?
Yeah. My week was my son got sick and we got sick. Well, we're all better, but like it was another pressure cooker because, you know, a two-year-old, they get sick, but they still are a hurricane. So he is in the front yard and his little toilet's out there and he's like sliding down the slide, knocking down bowling pins. And he is over here raking leaves and jumping in them. And then all of a sudden he's on the toilet. And every time he would be on the toilet, someone would come to the door. Like the postman saw him like just like diarrhea city. Then there was another one. Oh, it was like comical sounds of diarrhea too. My son's just like smiling up at them being like, hello. And then the guy's like, here's your mail. Ooh, like, just so awkward.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch anything. I didn't read anything. I just was in the throes of, you know, whatever we had. So that's my week. It's your week. I hear you.
You can hear it in my voice that I am getting over a sickness as well. I'm like, I miss the cold. I miss the snow. But like, I've been here for 3.5 months and this is my second time having the flu. I'm like, for real?
How'd you get it? Like, how'd you get it?
I think I got it from my dad because he was really sick and my brother and I went to see him on the same day and then we both got sick and it's like a gnarly flu. My son got it and was off school the last couple days. Yeah, so we're recording two back to back, so my voice is going to sound a little more sultry these couple of times. So just deal with it, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, deal with it. All right. If you don't like it, then listen anyway.
Then keep listening.
So that was my week. A lot of rest, a lot of fluids, a lot of, you know.
Did you watch anything?
Well, I was like taking care of our son. And so we watched, you know, his comfort movie is My Neighbor Totoro, his favorite. And that's that. We watched that. We watched some other Studio Ghibli movies that we love. Great. And yeah, just lots. Oh, that's my dog making crazy sounds in the background. He's sneezing. Maybe he's sick too.
He's like, hey, don't count me out. Be part of the action.
So yeah, Mirage didn't get it, so that was lucky.
Good.
Yeah, but he was dealing with his own back problems and other things. So we had a week over here. We had a time. It's been a week. Yeah.
Let's turn it around for next week.
Let's turn it around. Let's laugh. Let's hear some good stories. Let me get out of my head and just laugh. Laugh with you.
Oh, there's some good ones. It was so fun finding these and reading these this week because I don't know. For some reason, you know, I hit some threads. It was like the embarrassing stories rose up to meet me, you know?
I love that.
And I died. So, okay.
Are we going to kick it off? Let's do it.
Yes. Okay. This is Jenny and she's writing from New York and she writes.
Is it Jenny from the block?
It's Jenny from the block. It's Jenny. Wait, Jennifer Lopez.
Is it J-Lo?
I forgot her name.
It's Jenny from the block.
It's not. I don't want to get sued. I want to get sponsored by J-Lo. So she writes, I've always been a walk around my apartment naked person, summers especially. I love to have my skin in the open air. However, I've never been a voyeur, so I always make sure I have heavy drapes or thick shades drawn when I decide it's an au naturel day. I'd moved into a new apartment in Brooklyn and was getting used to the layout. It was the dead of summer and I lived in an old 4-story walk-up with no AC. It was sticky. I started unpacking boxes and got so sweaty that it was time for a shower. In the bathroom, I stripped down only to realize that I'd not pulled the window shade down and looked over to make direct eye contact with the wide-eyed, much older, friendly grandpa neighbor I'd introduced myself to hours before.
Oh, no.
So he's just like sitting there. It's like so funny about New York. It is true.
Oh yeah,
like
the buildings are so close together. Yeah.
They're so close together and they're in such random layouts. So like you're, yeah, wherever he will. So it says he was watering the plants above the sink in his kitchen. So his kitchen was directly across from her bathroom.
He has just a bird's eye view of her showering. There was
no communication between architects. Yeah. So his kitchen window looked directly into my bathroom window. I lunged for the shade in a sweaty panic. He saw everything. How was I going to say things like, I think it's going to rain later or we sure need it, after he saw my large areolas? So weird that she put that in there. I'm proud of them, but they can be a lot. In the shower, I tried to relax and tell myself, look, it's fine. He only saw you for half a second, probably didn't even have time to focus, although his shocked, large, bulging eyes haunted me as I dried off. They were like two pool balls swimming in a pancake. Still sweltering, I tossed the towel aside and walked to my kitchen to get a glass of water. Nope, there weren't even shades on the windows in there, and my bare breasts said hello to my neighbor's wife preparing a sandwich. She saw my breasts, walked hurriedly out of the room holding a dish towel over her eyes and the plate with a sandwich in it in the other. I stood there for a moment, shaking my head, collecting myself, and then sprinted into my bedroom where I knew I'd drawn the shades to get a t-shirt.
Girl, where's your towel?
She's like, I don't know, right?
Well,
she's
Where's your towel? I mean, look, it is your apartment, I guess. Be free, but...
But also, like, how do you forget that all the shades are not drawn?
That's funny. You know what I
mean? But so, she says... I found myself standing in the blinding light of the sun that flooded my floor to ceiling windows with my neighbor across the way staring like he'd had a pie to the face. So she like runs into her bedroom and she hadn't drawn the shades there either. And this guy who was clearly like gone to another room, I mean, wherever he is still can see her naked.
He's like, stop following me. She's shining those headlights in my eyes.
This whole family has been traumatized by just this, like, they think this, like, nudist neighbor of theirs. So he was settling into his...
I want you to see. Just look.
He's got, like, binoculars. He's like, wow, that's a rare sighting. He was settling into his chair, flipping through TV channels, and his wife was bringing him the sandwich. She followed his gaze and stared at me like I had three heads. So now she's in the room staring at her. They both see her butt-ass naked.
I mean,
she's just standing there.
But why? Why? My question is, why? Why is she standing
there? Where's your towel?
Like, why, where's your towel? So, but also, like, so if you realize it, I mean, there's this thing that we have called arms, right?
Yeah. Or knee or legs to jump, like fall.
But well, like, so, just cover your boobs with one arm. Just do the old, and yet, you know, if it, it sounds like only the boobs were exposed, depending on where the window was. So throw an arm over, do a, oh shit, at them, do a little wave, like, oh, sorry, and duck out. But she's just like free boobing it. She's like, who cares?
Well, she's just, well, so these are floor to ceiling windows, so they can see her vagina too.
Well, you got two, you got two arms and you got to just back out of the room.
Cover your privates. Cover your privates. She followed. Okay, so so she said, I had frozen to the spot. Lunging forward, I lay flat on the floor, did not make it to the curtain. So she like tries to go. She tried to do what you were saying. She was like trying to disappear and close the shades. But she just doesn't make it that far. So the shades are still open.
That's hilarious.
I was still visible, but only my back and butt. So I army crawled to yank the shade closed, which I had to pop up to do. And in so doing, I pressed my whole boob by accident to the glass because I lost my balance.
That's hilarious. I couldn't look away.
And neither could they. So she's like, oh.
They're like seeing like what you see from the mammogram technician's perspective.
From the mammogram's camera to their eyes. So their expression will be burned into my mind. He was like a train was coming directly at him and hers was a resigned, squinting disgust. I'd met these people a few times and would have to avoid them for the next several months. I'm still annoyed by it because my naked ritual has turned from a free-feeling dance with my curves to a very tentative sprint from room to room. I'm never fully relaxed, and even and I even think I can see them staring through the curtain sometimes. I never saw or spoke to those neighbors again. Ah, well, I'll live, and hopefully they did too.
I'm going to pretend it's J-Lo still.
It's J-Lo. Oh, my God. But see, don't you think that their expressions would be different if it was J-Lo? They'd be like, ooh,
that's like the
damn.
Friends episode. Remember there was like the naked girl across the way in the front.
Oh,
in Friends?
And they saw her naked. Oh, yeah, and she was like,
she was always sex. Naked.
Yeah. I think I do vaguely remember that.
Well, Glad you got some drapes.
Glad you used your arms.
My first story comes from Quora, and Himanshu Dewan writes, "This was my first brush with online dating post moving to the U.S. I matched up with this gorgeous brunette who offered to pick me up from my place for the date since I had not yet gotten my license. Like every other student, I was constantly broke and therefore agreed to the pickup in the hopes of saving me some Uber money, which I figured I could use to pay for our dinner. Also, why would any guy in their right mind pass up an opportunity to be picked up by a gorgeous date? If anything, it would give us more time to get acquainted with one another. I show up outside my home a few minutes before she's supposed to arrive in my iron shirt and rugged pants that made me look slimmer. Yes, guys have those too. I entered the car, observed that she's even prettier than her pictures. I complimented her and buckled myself in. This is where the trouble begins. We're cruising on the freeway. The conversation flows naturally. She finds my dry humor funny, happens rarely, and I'm getting a good feeling about this.
Yes.
Now, ever since I sat down, I had a feeling like my butt was getting warmer. Thinking it was all in my head, I dismissed the idea. 15 minutes into the ride, I'm now sure that something is definitely going on down there. Trying to act smooth, I gently brush my hand past my ass and notice it's definitely warm. Panic strikes. My stomach's upset. I'm mentally trying to recollect the last 10 meals I had, hoping I'll find the culprit, all the while pretending to hear what she had to say. The warmth meant only one thing. I have been passing gas.
Okay. So that means that he's just talking to her, having the best time ever, and farting and not realizing. Or pooping.
My worst nightmare was coming true. I was going to be the guy who literally shit on his first date. First date, no less. I was going to be the guy who was going to ruin the leather seats of her car so bad she would have to get them changed. What if my gases made it hard? Will she notice after I left? What about the smell? She's going to kick me out anytime. I'm going to be the stinky date. She would probably have to go to a car wash to get the smell out. She'll probably tell everyone at the car wash about her stinky date. My mind was on hyperdrive. In order to delay the smell from reaching her, I started to breathe heavily, hoping to inhale all the air myself.
Oh my God, this guy is hyperventilating. He is having a panic attack. You don't even know what happened yet.
Ingenious ideas from your brain when you're trying to act all cool in a shitty situation. The thought of opening the window eluded me. I think that is so funny that he's literally doing deep inhales to get rid of the farts instead of rolling the window down and thinking, I'll suck the farts in. Then what? You're just going to have fart breath? Like, what are you talking about? Fart breath.
That logic, you are not going to get a good night kiss.
It is such funny logic.
Also, what is she doing? Is she just sitting there being like asphyxiating?
He's freaking out. So I don't think he even knows what she's doing because he's freaking out. I tried to calm myself down. Nothing helped. Seeing me sweating and breathing heavily, she asked, "Are you okay?" I couldn't bring myself to answer her. I just stared at her with my puppy face, dreading the moment when the smell hit her and she pulled up to the side to kick me out. A minute passed. No such thing happens. She's looking a little concerned at my sudden drop in enthusiasm, but I see no bad smell disgust on her face. Calming myself down, I realize that I can't smell anything either. My ass is getting hotter by the minute. I start thinking about it in a rational way. How did I not even feel a tinge of uneasiness if my stomach was this upset? I have no answer. Something didn't feel right. The whole thing didn't add up. Not wanting to take any risks, I decided to come clean. I tell her, I don't feel so well. My body feels warm. I intentionally avoid being specific. And I think I have the stomach flu. She looks a little disappointed upon hearing that, but reacts very gracefully nonetheless. Sure, we don't have to do this today. Let me drop you back home. I heard there's a flu going around. And since I had a cold yesterday, I've been taking extra measures as well to keep myself from falling ill. I even switched on the seat warmers to keep us warm.
I knew it was the seat warmer.
I stared at her in absolute disbelief, secretly praying that the earth swallowed me whole. There's absolute silence, like what you would experience in space, but heavier. And that, my dear friends, is how I discovered that cars abroad have nice little features called seat warmers. Finding out the truth, I graciously communicated my lack of awareness. She started howling with laughter, so much so that she had to take the closest exit and pull over just to keep herself from laughing. I explained how I had only driven a compact car in India and seat warmers are not common there.
That is amazing. That's amazing. So they kept the date.
He just came
clean. He was like, "I'm sorry. I thought I shit my pants." No such thing happened. Let's keep going.
Is getting warmer and warmer. What the hell is happening? I'm farting and I don't even know.
These are the things we take for granted.
I know.
Like, the first time you see an escalator, imagine, or the first time you go into a grocery store here, it's like, oh, holy. You know what I mean? Wow, that's so funny.
I love my seat warmers. I could not get by without them. I need my butt very warm. And now I'm like really spoiled. I have a steering wheel warmer. Like that is the best. I do. And now I need it because it's like freezing here.
That's so nice. That's so nice. Oh, yeah.
Little luxuries.
Yeah, seriously.
If only he had that on, then he would just be like, my hands are so hot. What's happening?
He's like, I'm ill.
I know. I thought that was so funny. I was like, that's so cute and sweet.
That is really good. I know. I was just thinking for myself, like, I'm like, why is this guy like freaking out if he's not smelling a fart? Like, what is happening? But now it makes sense that he's from India.
He's just never felt it. And it was like, what?
He never felt it.
I mean, that would be such a weird sensation. Like, I remember I had this little kitten. I was probably like 10 or 11, and it was laying on me, and all of a sudden, like, my stomach just started, like, burning hot, and I was like, it was the weirdest sensation, and I was like, what the hell? The kitten had peed all over me.
Oh,
but,
I was gonna
you know,
say,
when
whoa.
You don't know what's going on, and you haven't had that happen, it's like, you just feel the sensation in your body first, and you're like, what the hell is happening? And I was like, what's wrong with me? This is so weird. Like, my whole stomach is hot, you know?
Do you want to know, that just brought back a memory of when I was in Mary Poppins, and I was a chimney sweep. I was someone who had a song, but I was a chimney sweep, and I held the tiniest chimney sweep on my lap while I sang the song, and she peed on me.
Stop it.
And I remember the same thing, being like, what's happening? Oh my God, why am I wet? What is happening? She just sat there quietly looking good, like the most adorable little chimney sweep you've ever seen in your life with a top hat.
Just pissing all over you.
Yeah.
And for once, it wasn't you peeing.
For once. Well, I mean, I'm sure that was like she cast a spell.
And then you peed after she peed. And then you blamed your pee on her.
Yep. You nailed it. You're either. Oh, my God. That's good. That's really good. Well, all right. This is from Darlene, and she's in Vermont, and she wrote, my 3-year-old son was getting over norovirus, an extremely contagious virus that just leaves an entire household vomit and diarrhea covered.
This is your my story. Husband.
No, I know what you're talking about. It's Darlene. My husband and I got over it. My son did too, but his diarrhea lingered for a couple of weeks. As his diapers filled day after day, I realized that I couldn't not take him to school. He'd missed so much, and I had a full-time demanding job. We made sure he was hydrated and that his tummy was full of bananas, rice, applesauce, you name it, to get those runs under control. We put him in a diaper and we dropped him off. That's not responsible, actually. Like, it's really bad. The pediatrician said he was not contagious after a week, so we trusted things would be okay. At the end of the school day, I showed up and my son was running around in just a diaper. His teacher looked exhausted. She told me that right after drop-off, he'd pooped his diaper. Mm. She changed it to have the diarrhea drop everywhere and she had to clean it up. I was mortified. That's not all, she said. She told me that my son had pooped again undetected and taken off his diaper to run smearing its contents on the walls.
Oh, no.
He what? She said they had to keep him outside and to shadow him because he was having so much fun pooping and flinging his diaper at other kids.
That's
mortified.
Hilarious.
And her anger was justified. I said I was so sorry and then I'd keep him home. We were so embarrassed that we changed his school mid-year. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's rough.
Also, one kid does doing that in the midst of like so many other kids. It's like so contagious. I'm sure they all got it. Ugh.
Let's all fling our poops at everyone.
I know. Kids getting sick though, like just having been through it, it lasts forever. It's an ending.
It's not
hell.
Fun. It's not a fun time. Mm-mm. Okay. This next story comes from Cora, and David S. Rose writes, my first job out of college, I was a special assistant to U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. I started doing in-office work, but eventually I got promoted to being the senator's personal driver and body man, the aide who sticks next to him through public appearances. My first day in this role, I'm sent to pick the great man up at his hotel, the Carlisle, known for being the favorite of the super elite such as President Kennedy. I'm serious about making a great first impression, so I get there a half an hour early. I carefully position my car in front of the hotel entrance. I warn the doorman that the senator is coming down. Make sure everything is absolutely perfect.
He's killing it.
I go inside and wait in the lobby by the elevator. The appointed time comes and goes. Logistics are getting tight if I'm going to get him to his speech on time. Finally, with only a minute or two to spare, if everything goes perfectly, the door opens and he appears in all his 6'5" imposing glory, striding rapidly across the lobby.
Someone's got a crush. She's like 6'5", muscly stomach, hard as rocks.
I smartly fall into step beside the senator, hand him his briefing package, and describe exactly what we're going to be doing. I walk him out the front door of the hotel, nod importantly at the doorman, usher the senator to his car, neatly slip in front of him to open the back door, and realize I have locked the keys in the car with the engine running.
That is crazy.
Worst
That's
case scenario.
Terrible. Oh no.
After feeling more like a jackass than I ever had in my entire life, I quickly hailed a cab, jumped in with him, and dashed to the speech venue, leaving the car running but locked, blocking the hotel entrance. As soon as I had a chance, I called a locksmith to get the car open, took another cab back uptown, drove back down in time to pick him up. He, being an extraordinarily gracious and classy guy, never said a word about it, but it took my ego a year to recover.
You know what? That's the way to make an impression, though. Because guess what? It's not about how you fall down. It is about how you get up. So that senator's like, okay, I guess we're going to cab this with this idiot. Then after his speech, after everything, he's like, oh, you got the car back? Oh, we're okay. Like,
I mean, he handled it. He turned on a dime. Like, yeah. I know. I feel like
it's like, I trust you with my life.
He didn't freeze in that situation. Like, he could have freaked out and be like, I locked the keys in the car. Oh my God. Like, instead, he's like, oh, okay, new plan. We're doing this. Like, and he got him there. But,
or like all the stories we hear about people who are just like, and then I just like took off and never went back.
Yeah. Like, they're like, and then I quit and I never went back to that job. Yeah. I know. That's humiliating because it's such an important position, and it's you know, so it's important. High stakes, and you got to get him there. It's like down to the second, and the senator was already late, so he was already like pushed
tick
for time.
Tick tock. But you know what I love like the image, that imagery of her just falling in step with him being
him.
Like, here's your itinerary.
Guy.
Oh, he's like, here's your itinerary. Yeah. Sir. And he's like, thank you. And then he's like, you know, we got to I don't know, do some stuff. And like, I mean, you know, whatever, I didn't write this, but like,
we gotta do some stuff.
We sure do gotta do some stuff. And then they get to the car, and then he probably even yanked the handle, and it was locked.
Yeah.
And then the senator sees like this foggy windows, because you know he left that heat on, and it just like, he's like, wait, did you? And then it was like, boom, hail a cab.
And then
like,
I imagine him pulling it a few more times, and then trying all the other doors too, and the trunk before giving
slipping
up,
slipping in some slush, like slamming his head on the side. Okay, that's where I went.
Or
but,
maybe
wow.
smash a window in. I don't know. But
oh, what if he covered his knuckles with like some kind of like his
just
scarf,
punched the window,
and just bam, and then made the senator sit on the broken glass? He'd be fired. He'd be fired.
It's pretty.
Oh my goodness, that's a good one.
It's a good one.
That's embarrassing. It is. I hate those stories. That's the story like that I can't handle.
Yeah.
A scene in any movie where they're like, oh shit, I locked my keys in the car. Like, I just can't. I hate that. Engine, it's just, yeah, it just ruins a whole movie going experience for me at that point. Okay, so this one is from a website called, it's On Stage Blog.
Okay.
Very, very. And Chris Peterson writes, there was a time in college when I was in a production of Look Homeward Angel, a very depressing drama. I was playing a doctor who had to pronounce a patient dead in the scene. Well, during tech week, my friend and I got the giggles because of the way I uttered the line, he's dying, in a southern accent. So he's like, he's dying. I don't know how to do it. But
he's
like,
dying.
Just, he's dying.
He's dying on us. He's dying.
During every single performance, I couldn't contain my laughter and often broke up during the scene, which was supposed to be extremely somber. I was half mortified, half laughing because I couldn't help myself. The audience noticed, and my director was none too pleased. I'd be like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, why are you laughing at
this?
Get
it together.
What's happening? And your southern accent sucks. Every time, I swore I wouldn't do it again, that I had got it out of my system. And then every performance, I couldn't help but giggle once again. Lesson learned. Don't ever workshop southern accents during rehearsals of somber dramatic plays.
Yeah.
I just love that. He's dying. Like, that is the funniest thing. That has happened to me many times where I just lose. During Free Willy, there's a scene where like we're supposed to be like pulling up around a fish that's covered in oil, and we're like circling it and trying to get it out of the whatever gulf. I wish I remembered better. And I kept laughing.
It happens.
And they kept cutting and being like, let's go back to one. I don't know why.
You get the giggles sometimes. Something like sticks with you and you just can't let it go. And it just, yeah. Been there too. Yeah. Laughed at inappropriate times many times. Okay.
Many times.
My next story comes from Cora, and Eric Diaz writes, freshman year of college was the first time I ever got drunk. My roommates and I threw a Christmas party, and it was total amateur hour. Rubbing alcohol, vodka mixed with Gatorade. Nasty stuff in hindsight, but it was my first time, so I didn't know any better. My friend Clay makes my first drink, and I'm feeling good. Talking with people, asking about winter break plans, totally vibing out. Then we start playing some drinking games called Death Circle.
Oh, no.
The details of the game are fuzzy, but I remember this is where things escalated. I must have finished two or more drinks in a 15-minute span. Somehow during this drinking game, it was revealed to everyone that this was my first time drinking. Enter Cheryl.
Oh.
She was a friend of a friend who went to school out of state. After this information was revealed, Cheryl says we should take shots together. So we go over to the kitchen and do just that. This creates a snowball effect. More and more friends come over to take shots with me in celebration of losing my booze virginity. I'm like,
oh my God.
Worst case
scenario. That is so bad that they're doing this to this person.
I know.
Who says that? They're like, you should drink more. You never drank before.
Because that's what you do when you're young and dumb. At one point, it seemed like they could have poured anything into a cup and I would have drank it. I was straight blasted. I remember going into my room and sitting on the bed just to get a breather from it all. I must have looked like shit. Cheryl walks in, sits down, puts her arm on my shoulder, and then says something that still makes me laugh to this day. I think you need a drink.
Oh my God, Cheryl, get out of here.
I did not need a drink. She takes my hand and leads me back out into the living room,
Cheryl,
where we take even more shots of
vodka. They are trying to kill him. That game is called Don't Die or whatever.
It's like Death Circle or something.
Death Circle. This is what it is. They're killing him.
Death Circle. Everyone's dancing and having a blast. Then, in what was either 15 seconds or 15 minutes, who knows, Cheryl and I progressed from dancing and grinding to making out. We go into my room and on my bed. Things are moving pretty quickly when my next memory is the following morning, 10:30 a.m. No idea what happened last night. I'm missing a sock. My shirt's on, but my pants are halfway down. Strange. Then I get a knock at the door. I stumble out of bed to answer it, and on the other side of the door is Cheryl, completely sober and dressed to the nines. I stand there dumbfounded, wondering if she's going to mention anything about last night. She asks if one of her friends is in her house. I say no. Then she says, oh, okay, see you later, get some sleep. Later, when my roommates helped me piece together the events of the evening, they said Cheryl walked out of my room about 5 minutes later, buttoning her blouse, looking disappointed, meaning I must have knocked out in the middle of making out with her. I remember laughing as a cover for my friends, but I felt terrible. My ego would be destroyed if someone fell asleep on me mid-hookup. Luckily, she was a trooper and had a sense of humor about it. Cheryl, if you're hearing this, I apologize for my consciousness shortcomings. I don't know where you are in life, and I doubt I'll see you later. But if it's any consolation prize, since the incident winter of 2014, I have definitely gotten some sleep.
Okay, whoa. So the elephant in the room is the fact that Cheryl plied him with enough alcohol that would kill an elephant.
Yeah, she really did.
So he's like, oh, he's like, listen, man, you live and you learn. I'm so sorry I fell asleep. You were smashed.
You were like
man.
Drugged, essentially.
You got knocked out and you got up again the next day. Like, don't even blame yourself, man. You know, like that Cheryl's seriously got, maybe Cheryl just didn't know, you know?
I mean, Cheryl shouldn't be that mad about it since she was literally like shoveling the alcohol down his throat.
She was shoveling alcohol like she shovels snow into your mouth. That's good. It's a good one.
It happens. But people pass out. I mean, people pee. It happens.
Well, it's such a, like a epic night, right? Like you've never had any alcohol in your body. Then you go from having like no alcohol to having like an entire bottle of alcohol.
All of the alcohol.
Still able to make out without throwing up, which I commend him for. And then black out and you wake up in the morning and sure you have a headache, but woof, nothing happened, you know? You didn't just try to
what a night.
Fly. What a night. Okay, so this is from Reddit and Metacolin writes, I was at an acquaintance's birthday party. It was a pretty big gathering. Everyone was drinking heavily, and it was a grand old time. The acquaintance's house was rather large. Oh, this is a coincidence. This is another party story. So naturally, as the evening progressed, groups of friends migrated around from room to room, colonizing and recolonizing chairs, couches, or just standing. I eventually found myself in the company of several people who wanted to go streaking. I'd never gone streaking before. There were several rather attractive ladies going, and I was invited as well. So I figured, what the hell? Worst thing that happens is I see some boobs. Oh, how I was wrong. We go to a park, actually a field that was part of a nearby elementary school, but whatever. And everyone begins stripping, running around.
Now I know where this is going.
Then, as I finish disrobing, one of the girls just grabs my clothes and runs off. I didn't think much of it at the time. She was no stranger, and I was drunk and didn't really give a crap anyway, and I go off running with the others. As I return, I notice the girl that ran off with my clothes is now clothed and laying down with a couple of friends comforting her. I bound up in the cock flappity manner that naked guys tend to bound in, asking, what's wrong? Where are my clothes? So he's like, runs up and his balls are just like flapping,
yeah,
like in
he's
these
got
girls'
nothing
face.
On.
It turns out she was epileptic and just had a seizure.
Oh, geez.
She had no memory of even stealing my clothes. Nonetheless, where they were hidden. Fuck. At this point, I'm suddenly aware of being in an elementary school field in a densely populated area, night or not, naked. Oh, and it was also a full moon.
Oh, wow.
I know.
You're illuminated.
I run off searching for my clothes, and after what was probably 30 minutes, with everyone looking on at the pasty white dude glowing in the moonlight, I found them hitting directly under a streetlight. I dress quickly, but all I can say is pasty white guys at night under a full moon can maintain no dignity. I was like a glowing beacon of nakedness in dick kinetics. So that's it. Like,
no, he's lucky because,
oh,
yeah,
oh,
if you
writes,
get public indecency in a schoolyard, you can be labeled a sex offender.
Right. The girl, he writes, edit, the girl who had a seizure was fine and thankfully recalled that she was going streaking at least and was able to rejoin in the party shortly after. That's the sad part of the story, is that, like, whoa, that's terrible that she had a seizure. But that's funny that she grabbed the clothes and then hid them and then forgot where they were. So he was just, like, left to be naked with
No, that's
everyone
nuts.
Around.
Yeah, he is lucky. I had a friend tell me that their friend, like, late night peed, like, in a schoolyard and got labeled as, like, a sex offender because it's, like,
oh,
indecent
no.
exposure. Isn't that crazy? I'm like,
yeah.
There's no kids around. It's the middle of the night, but that's so nuts.
That's awful.
So, like, and he's then- lucky that...
So he got arrested. He was peeing at a school, and like he got
arrested.
He was
peeing, and he got he had to lay, he had to register as a sex offender. Isn't that crazy?
That's awful. That's awful.
So that guy's lucky.
I know that guy got lucky.
Okay, my last story comes from Cora, and Terry Lowe writes, I was in my mid-20s and just started to date the woman who would become my second fiance. It was a magical night. Dinner had gone well, including a really decadent cheesecake. She loved it all, and we parked just around the corner from her house when I drove her home. We started making out, and it got to be pretty hot and heavy. The night was quiet and clear. The stars were bright. She was excited to be there with me, and I was with her. Lips and tongues were entwined, and we just couldn't get enough of each other until suddenly I burped into her mouth.
Oh, God. Disgusting. Disgusting.
She recoiled in absolute horror and disgust. It was not a very sexy look.
That would ruin it. That would ruin everything for me. It would be ruined.
After that, hot and heavy became instantly apologetic and totally embarrassed. She was not happy with me. It took a lot of fancy talking, but finally we got back into the mood and started at it again.
Fancy talk.
And then I suddenly burped twice into her mouth.
What is happening? What is going on with this guy? What is wrong with him? He like burped Tourette's?
Well, the date ended quite suddenly. She didn't talk to me for a few days, but we did get back together and almost got married. Not a bad run after a disastrous first date.
Wait, almost got married?
Did
he burp again during
the
proposal?
At the altar, they're like, do
you say,
you may now kiss the bride, and he burped into her mouth. And she's like, that's it.
She's like,
annulment.
Annulled. Okay, that is a first.
It's just so funny to picture it. Like picturing two people just like so hot and heavy making out, and then he just burps into her mouth.
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't so gross, it would be really funny. It's disgusting. I'm sorry, but
like, did he eat a bunch of garlic? Was it like garlicky burp into
her
mouth?
Was it like, yeah, Texas toast? Like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. I feel really bad for her. And also, how do you not know you're going to burp? Like, does that, is that a thing?
I mean, I think
so. Caught that off guard.
It's odd to be making out and have to burp, you know?
Yeah. Also, you know
what?
I
feel like sometimes a burp does just come up and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? But like, I can't imagine doing that in someone's mouth.
Katie, I love that.
You've never had that? You've never had a burp just like come up and be like, oh, wow, that surprised me.
I was drinking soda. I mean,
maybe he just like chugged a Coke before they started making out.
Chugged a Coke or like a seltzer or something. I don't know. That's a really good one. And I've never heard that kind of embarrassment.
I know, right? We've heard like
it's perfect.
I think we've heard like throwing up in someone's mouth, but not burping.
It's the perfect ornament for our trees.
It's the perfect ornament. Yes.
It's a perfect gift.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a Christmas coffee, please go to our Patreon page. It's listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.